Episode 94 of Outlander Cast has been brought to you by Decoded Designs. Check them out on Etsy at www.etsy.com/shop/decodeddesigns.
I baptize thee, William James, in the name of our Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Why did you call me William James? My name is William Clarence Henry George Ransom.
And when you're christened, you get a new name. James is your special papist name. It's mine too.
I'm a sinking papist now.
Well, I'm gonna carve this for you. My brother Willie gave me one just like it. I etched your name on the bottom seat. Keep it to remember me by. For God's sake, don't tell anyone you're a papist.
I won't. But I haven't got anything for you to remember me.
And then a fast lad. I'll remember you.
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I've never been so glad that I have a son that I can relate to in my entire life. That little bit got me. That little bit got me.
Oh, my God, right?
You know,
right?
There's a lot to say about this episode. There's a lot going on. But for some reason, the whole thing with Jamie and Willie...
All the feels
for me. That was the one thing that I really, really related to. Oh my goodness gracious. Good stuff. Loved it. Loved it. That was the first, not the first, but that was like a real moment that I could look at Jamie and say, I got you, bro.
Well, because like, you know, you're seeing him in a way that is more like you. You've been worried that you've been feeling Frank-esque. That you've always been kind of nervous that I was going to travel through time and find myself just having to get married to some gorgeous Scotsman.
Still kind of worried about
you know,
that.
But you watched this episode as a man with a young son and you were like, whoa, I'm kind of like the king of men. Like,
whoa, time
no,
out.
I mean, like, you know, Willie can't even know it's his dad. It's a very different relationship. So,
yes,
but I'm glad that you got to feel somewhat connected to Jamie.
I did. I felt good. This is the first time that I actually really felt like this is amazing. And, you know, like Jamie has had now three children, none of which he's been able to see except for now Willie.
Yep.
Right. You know, how special is that for him? You know, he's missed out on two kids.
Ugh.
And he's had to send his wife away and... Now he has one, and God.
He has a kid. I thought you were saying he has a wife, and I'm like,
Well, no, not yet.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, according to my Outlandish Theory of the Week, he's going to have one very soon.
So let's talk about your kilt rating for this episode. So for those of you who are new to Outlander Cast, Blake is not a book reader. I am. He is just a show watcher. He is starting to read Outlander, and you can hear his Blake's chapter by chapter analysis if you're a patron of Outlander Cast. But so he doesn't know what's coming. He doesn't know what to expect. He's seeing this all firsthand. I am going to tell you this, okay? As I was watching this episode 304, you know, Blake was just joking, like, oh, my Outlandish theories. And a lot of you have been commenting, like, wow, Blake's Outlandish theories are so spot on. And I am going to blame the trailer and the teasers and every single week. No, I love you and your brain. Let me just, because I feel like if you are not a book reader and if you see these trailers, you've seen so much of season 3. But For those of you who don't know what's coming, you don't know what's coming after next episode, okay? Like, after next week's episode, you know nothing Jon Snow. Trailers, teasers, they didn't tease any of it, okay? They teased you the door of a print shop, and that's about it. So you don't even have the sound effect ready.
No, I did. I actually played it, but you know what? I'm going to play it again.
You know nothing.
There it is.
Now.
So I have asked Blake to, from now on, not watch the trailers at the end of each episode because I think that they are highly...
I think they're not doing a good job with them.
They've been giving the non-book readers a little too much information, and because those of you who have read the book, you know how amazing it's about to get. I mean, it's already been amazing, but how amazing it's really got to get, and how there has been nothing really shown in the trailers and the teasers, all this kind of stuff. So just so you know, from here on out, Blake is not going to be watching the next week kind of little trailers. So
although I did watch this upcoming one.
Yeah, I watched it and I was like, it's totally fine.
I have thoughts about that too. But
which is part of the reason why we're going to do it.
Get rid of it. And I say that, you know, they have not done a good job because they have led on too much. They have given you too much as a viewer. I mean, if you're a viewer only, you know, they mentioned the word baby in the last trailer. Now, given what I saw in the season 3 trailer and then, you know, with the hussy and now this with the baby and that this, you know, it's easy to, well, I can't say it's easy, but because I'm amazing at these Outlandish Theory of the Week. You know, I just feel like it's easier to put them all together. So I, you know what, my darling, I think I will go along with you and not watch the what's coming.
Well, let's quickly divert because this isn't like part of our episode, but something really upset us with this week's episode and then the trailer that comes right after. Okay, you get very little.
Well, hold on, time. I think we should probably do the kilt rating and then.
Oh, okay.
We should probably get into all that stuff. Does that make sense?
We're already talking about trailers. So
all right, fine. All right. Go ahead.
So, Claire's story, meh, this episode, whatevs, treading water. But at the end, it became something. At the end, it became, I'm not going to do what Mrs. Graham told me that I was going to do, which is chasing ghosts. I'm going to leave. She and Brianna get on a plane to Boston. She's like, I'm done. I'm done searching. I'm done. Mm-hmm. And you know what the trailer is? I'm going back. I'm going to find him. Here we go.
And it shows her in the, the past. Like, what? Now, listen, we all know.
Yes.
We all know that she's going back. Of course she is. Because otherwise, if she didn't, there'd be no Outlander. But I don't want to know when she's going back. Okay? I mm-hmm. know she's going back. It's inevitable. But don't tell me. Don't telegraph that.
Like, the moment that, after, like, she's finally on a plane back to Boston.
You know, it actually kind of reminded me. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that bad mistake. In Lost.
We have to go back, Kate.
When the finale aired and it ended, and then over the credits, they had, remember the picture of the downed plane on the beach? Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, oh my God, it was all a dream. They totally ruined it for everybody. Everything we watched was useless. And they're like, no, that wasn't it at all. It's just, we wanted to show that as a memorial, like. And that's what it reminded me of. Like, they totally screwed it up.
So, needless to say, those of you who are just show watchers and not book readers, you might want to do the same and stop watching the trailers, because who's ever editing the trailers?
Oh, they need to get fired.
No, they're just...
You're fired, guy. We call that here a hard no, a hard pass. Oh man! All right, my love. I think we should
time
stop
for the kilt rating.
Yeah, let's get. What is your kilt rating for this episode?
Oh, my kilt rating is a 4.
A 4.
A 4.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, tell me why.
4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Jamie's storyline. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun in Hellwater. I had a lot of fun just like getting to know the characters there mm-hmm. and seeing Jamie. I know some people don't think he looks like he's aging, but I think he's looked like he's aged.
I see little crow's feet. That's what I feel like.
And
I see.
Feel like they're adding like lots of like sullen makeup, Lots of contouring. Lots of contouring.
All the bronzer.
All the bronzers.
Check out midwithmary.com, by the way. Shameless plug.
So, you know, I enjoyed seeing this part of Jamie's story. I feel like we were kind of gypped with a lot of his story. So this was good to see. I really liked seeing his relationship with John Gray, Lord John Gray. The negative one was kind of just all of my time with Claire. And I feel really bad. And Claire and Brianna. I guess really my negative one was my time with Brianna. And I'm really trying. Guys, I'm just really trying, but the whole mama, like mama and Raja, like what was that? What? Yeah. So the negative one was just my time in Scotland. It was just hard for me until that last scene with the pub and the flight to Boston. That I was on board with, but a 4, which is okay because everything else has been 5s. How about you?
All right, I'm going 3.7. I'm going 3.7.
Oh, you went lower than me.
I did.
I thought I was gonna like rock the boat.
No, don't no. Rock the boat, baby. Rock the listen, boat. This commandment number 2. Season 2 shall never be named. However,
it's the Voldemort season.
This isn't season 2. This is not season 2 bad. Okay. At least we can have a conversation about this episode. You can't have a conversation about season 2. But this was, in my opinion, a step back for season 3. And the reason why I say that, it was like, it was, and I can't tell if it's the show itself or if it is the source material that I have a hard time with, because it is so soapy. I feel like I'm watching
Mama.
I feel like I'm watching Dynasty. That's what I feel like.
Oh, all parts involved,
well,
you mean?
Well, no, but I mean, like, first, I mean, let's just get this off the bat right now. Bam! Just like that. A winner! I called it. I made that call. There was a baby, and the baby is Jamie's. Hashtag spoiler alert.
Why didn't he have red hair?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like that's a dominant gene when you have a red-haired kid. Although we have a kid with red hair, and neither of us have red hair. So
you have red hair in your beard.
I do have red hair in my beard.
Not a milkman.
Or the postman. But the baby, and then the Geneva dies, and then...
People died in childbirth all the time. I know,
but it's just like so soapy. I can't get behind it. And then the worst part, I think the most egregious part...
Did you
part,
want Mr. Bates to come around and like, someone else has died Downton Abbey having a baby? Mr. Bates!
I felt like Downton Abbey light. We'll get into that. But the most egregious part of this episode for me is Claire. Claire taking a back seat in her own freaking story. She has become a passive character. Things are just happening to her.
But that's how she feels.
I can't tell if it's the show or if it's the source material, because Claire does things. She makes decisions. She's a woman of strength. I'm going to do this. I will give it credit. At the end of the episode, she does make the decision. I'm going home. And that's when she finally does something to say, okay, this is my story. And my choice as a character is pushing this forward.
And that's why I said I felt like it was just kind of treading water on Claire's story side for a little while.
But then we have the awkward kissing between Bree and Roger. And then the I love you from Geneva. Hold on. Just... Listen.
Young hormones.
I'm not going to say I'm panicking. I'm not going to say I'm panicking.
About what?
But I'm almost out on Brianna and Roger. Almost out. This is a take in development, okay? I reserve the right to circle back once it turns better and suits my argument. But the take development here, I'm almost out, because I think...
You're not hashtag Bree and Roger?
Oh, goodness. I can't tell if it's the writing. I can't tell if it's the actress who plays Brianna. Maybe it's Sophie Skelton is her name. Maybe it's Roger. Or maybe the fact that they, as a pair, in my eyes, have zero chemistry whatsoever.
Oh my God.
And maybe it's also because I'm kind of weirded out by the age difference. He's like, he's got his AARP card coming on the way, and she just graduated high school. You know, like, I feel like, I don't have any. It's a hard choice because you say, okay, well, I want to have more of Brianna and Roger, but then that takes Claire and puts her in the back seat of her own story.
I think it just pales in comparison to the fire that we get to see with Jamie and Claire.
Right, right. That's the thing. And like, you know what? Wait, let's just stop it. Let's just get into the.
So there was
the rest
your kilt rating.
That's my. We're gonna get more into this.
Poor
big
Brie.
Big debate here, but okay. let's get to the listeners.
Listener feedback.
Listeners.
Alyssa Gomez gave the episode 4 kilts. She said it was such a frustrating but emotionally amazing ride. 4 to 5 kilts because of Miss Ice Queen threatening Jamie. I just hated her. I added those snaps. Deb Poyter Gustin gave it 4.4 kilts. Loved Jamie's facial expressions, which convey his feelings more than words. Not upset with hair, as so many of you are. He was a groom after all. And also, while gingers don't go gray as much as any other hair colors, they do lighten up a bit as they age. I hoped the producers would have sent Sophie to acting school during the off seasons. I can't believe I'm reading this. Boom. Unfortunately, she is the weakest link. The bit with fixing the distributor cap was a feeble attempt to show her engineering skills.
I would agree.
My God. Seriously.
I'll
continue.
Plot devices. You get a plot device and you get a plot device. Everybody gets a plot device. Sorry.
On the fence with the casting of Wee Willie. While eyes have had a bit of a slant, the blue did not match Jamie's, so I had a hard time grasping why anyone was starting to see a resemblance of Jamie, other than how he carried himself with his mannerisms. Felt the friendship and trust growing between Lord John Grey and Jamie, which is important for the non-book readers to understand for future episodes. This was a bridge episode for me. Looking forward to more Joe Abernathy and season next week. I would agree. I was, you know, even though this was like a lower episode for me, right. I agree with Deb that this is a bridge, that the train's about to start picking up. Things are going to start happening and that train does not slow down. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm letting you know.
Okay.
I'm letting all you know. You have to literally like buckle up, hands and feet inside the vehicle. Do not move. Okay. You got one more bridge episode and then hold on tight, spider monkey. Hold on tight.
Out loud.
Okay. What?
Say it out loud.
Vampire.
There you go.
Okay. Tracy Gilbert Wilburn gave it 5++++ kills. Love, love, love this episode. The writers did an amazing job with Jamie in the Geneva story. Although he was with another woman in the body at the end of the scene when he was describing love to her, you knew he was talking about Claire. This seems to make it okay. It was beautiful to see Jamie finally begin to open his heart to someone, Willie. The Claire, Brie, and Roger scenes were wonderful. Claire's yearning for Jamie was evident in every scene. This makes us fans long for the print shop. The acting was amazing by all in this episode. However, Sam Heughan stole it and was unbelievable. The final scene of him leaving Willie left us wanting more. This is my favorite episode so far this season until next week. So Tracy, I'm really excited that you love this one because this is the magic of Outlander, is that some people love some episodes, some people love other episodes.
Right.
So I'm glad you loved it. And I totally agree. Sam has
absolutely killed it.
He is
this season.
Hitting it out of the ballpark. Oh my gosh.
I think he's really grown into this role of James Fraser.
Yes.
James Optimus Prime, Godzilla, King Kong, Magneto.
Yes.
Alexander, Malcolm.
Yes.
Barack Obama.
Okay.
Mackenzie, okay, Fraser.
Stop. All right. So time for the GBGs.
All right,
the good, bad, great.
All right, I'll start. The good. Hannah James. You want to know who Hannah James is?
Yeah.
The actress who played the hussy, Geneva. And you know what?
Tell me.
I'm so surprised by this.
Tell me why.
I thought I was going to absolutely freaking hate Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't.
Okay.
I thought her character had great humor. I thought her character had great sadness. I thought she was very pompous. She was spoiled. She was bratty. She gave us all the feels all at once. She made me angry. She made me laugh. She made me happy. All of it, at once. And then the best part?
Yes.
She made me feel bad for her. In all of those ways.
In that I love you moment?
Yeah, because it was so naive. It was like,
Those perky boobs are too naive. I'm saying it. I'm saying it for any woman who doesn't have the boobies anymore. You saw them and you were like, they're not in your armpits. Good for you.
Way to go,
good
girl.
Good for you, Hannah James.
She was a really good actress. And I really felt like I'm going to keep referencing Downton Abbey here, but she reminded me of Michelle Dockery.
Thank you for keeping it classy after I made that comment. I know, I'm glad I did.
I'm the classy part of this one, okay? She reminded me of Michelle Dockery, the girl who played the lead in Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Mary, drove me nuts.
Yes.
But I loved her at the same time, and that's how I felt with Geneva. The bad. How long of a podcast can we have today? Because there was a lot of them. This isn't The Search, not The Watch. You know, I'm not going to go that crazy. Not season two, not Scotland anymore, not that. Mm-hmm. But man, there was a lot of bad things for me. The whole pretty much 1968 storyline. Again, Roger and Bree taking away from Claire, making her a secondary passive character. It just felt like they had a bunch of ideas. They're like, we want to do this, and we want to make sure that Bree knows that she knows engineering, so we're going to show her do this distributor cap thing, and Roger's going to hit his head, he's going to look like an idiot, and then they're going to have this awkward kid. And like, ay, ay, ay. It's just too many things all at once. But the real bad was the preview for the next week. The preview for next week totally undercut any emotional...
Because you finally cared again about like Claire in this episode, as I said, treading water, and then, oh my gosh, Claire's giving up, reminding you of Mrs. Graham, chasing ghosts, you're feeling it, Bree's saying goodbye, and you're like, I'm feeling for you, Bree. I'm feeling something. Here we go, they're on the plane. Right. And then here we go. I've got to say goodbye to my mom, and mom's leaving, and here... What? Stop it, preview. Stop it.
And then it just totally undercut everything. It just undercut everything that the show accomplished that you just watched 2 seconds ago with that beautiful Bob Dylan cover and all of it. It just, you know, and again, that's not the episode's fault, but it is the show's fault. And that was a bad. And for me, the great. Everything with Jamie and Willie.
Yes.
As I said at the beginning of this episode, I really connected with Jamie and Willie. I really did. But the thing that really made me connect with him was not the scene that we played at the beginning, but it was the scene when they're both walking and he says, all right, come on, come help me with the carriage. And he's like, he lifts him up and he's like, all right, go clean the window. And he's cleaning the window and he's looking at him and you see Jamie's face as he's cleaning the window in the reflection. And it just reminded me of my son, Reese, and all the
stupid... Except you and Reese do look alike.
I know, we do. But we do all the stupid little things together, and like, it's teaching them how to be a man. And I've always felt that as a dad, you know, that's your charge in life. Mm-hmm. When you have a son, you got to teach him that the Yankees suck. And you got to teach him that, you know, that you only, you know... take a steak and you put it on one side and you let it cook and you only flip a steak once. That's all that stuff is part of being a man. You know, same thing with hamburgers. But Yankees suck and you only flip steaks once. Those are two important life lessons. That's it.
And now you guys know it.
So now you know. But as a man, you have a charge in life to make sure your son becomes a man too. And you got to teach him all the stupid little life lessons. And I feel like, yes, that is what Jamie was doing at that one little moment. And he saw it in himself. And I really, really, really attached myself to that. And
okay.
It got me all emotional. My darling, what do you got for your GPG?
My great was being back at Downton Abbey. And by that, I just mean all the characters that we got to be seeing at Hellwater and how they all lined up. And they even said that it was kind of like a little reference, you know, to the Downton Abbey times. But I actually cared about almost everyone at Hellwater. Mm-hmm. And I liked that. I liked that in this cram-packed episode, I cared about all of these characters. I love Isabelle. I cared even more for Lord John Grey. I, of course, fell for Willie with everything. Oh, the papist. Like, I just I just loved these characters, and I enjoyed myself there. Mm-hmm. My bad. My Bree moments, just any moment with Bree, and it's okay, it's all right, but yeah, that like flip a switch and now the car's working, what?
Right.
Okay, but like, I don't know. I just, anyway, and the great was when Jamie said that he's lost two children, mm-hmm. when he had that moment. And it was perfect to remind you about it. Because we need to remember this about Jamie, that, you know, yes, he's lost Claire. We've been talking a lot about losing Claire. He's been very lonely about missing Claire. He's doesn't, you know, she's not dead, but she's not here. But he's also lost two children, and that really hasn't been acknowledged in the prior episodes. So mm-hmm. I'm glad it was, of course, in this one. And then we get Willie and the importance of Willie. But that was really the great moment for me, was just Jamie being a daddy.
I totally agree. And my my favorite listener, GBG, was from Jennifer Sandy Esterbrooks.
Yes.
And she said, the good was Jamie riding a horse. No, that isn't a euphemism. He looks beautiful on a horse.
Okay, true, true.
Bad was Claire's Darth Vader's helmet wig. Oh. Bree, I am your mother. It reminded me of Lord Helmet from Spaceballs.
Yes. The wigs in this episode were a little rough.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
How about the great?
And the great was the whole stinking papist scene.
Yes.
Quite the great. Yes. Quite the great scene.
Let's get into the recap.
All right, let's do it. All right.
Tell me some fun facts about this episode.
So we got this episode title, of course, was entitled Of Lost Things, although they were considering naming it Hellwater for most of the time that it was in pre-production during production and post-production, as a matter of fact. It seems as though it was a last-minute change to call it Of Lost Things, which I think is probably the right choice.
Yeah.
Because, again, it goes along with this Parallel Lives thing that they've been going with for all the episode titles. Hellwater would not have been able to be applicable to what Claire is going through. But as I think we will find, and what we'll break this episode down with, is Of Lost Things can apply to everybody. Everybody loses something in this episode in one form or another. Mm. Every major character. Written by Tony Graffia, my girl from BSG, and in the beginning, she was in with Outlander. She has written episodes like Rent, The Devil's Mark, The Watch, La Dame Blanche, Faith, Dragonfly and Amber, and she's actually got two more coming, including the finale of season 3.
What?
And this one was directed by Brendan Mayer again. So far, despite my love-hate relationship with this episode, I think he, in terms of direction, is 3 for 3. And the director of photography was Alistair Walker. So we're seeing a good partnership between Brendan Mayer and Alistair Walker. I think it's providing it's bearing some great fruit, I think. Mm. And you know what? If I have a great surprise for all of you.
Do tell.
A fantastic surprise for all of you. Are you ready for...
I can't roll my R's that long.
This is what I'm going to call nerd porn, pretty much, for me.
Bring it on.
You know my love of all things cinematography. You know my love of Steve McNutt. And I have been pretty much in love with this man since... Oh, BSG, since all of his work on BSG. I recently had the pleasure of speaking with him, and we have an interview with Steve McNutt, Outlander director of photography, coming to you this week, as a matter of fact, and you will be able to hear the interview with him. And if you love the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff that goes on with camera work and how shots are made, the debate between digital filmmaking and actual film filmmaking and what goes on into shots and why certain things are lit certain ways. This is straight up nerd porn for you, because we talked for about, I'd say an hour and a half about all of his experiences on Battlestar Galactica and also Outlander. And it was so much fun. So my boy Steve McNutt came through. And he's going to be joining us in the podcast. You'll be able to hear that very
soon.
So I am so excited.
Perfect.
All right. So my love, let's break this episode down. And since you're the boss, how are we doing it today?
Right. Things that people have lost in this episode. So rather than going by scene, we're going to talk about what people have lost.
Let's do it. What do you got?
All right. So Geneva, She lost her. She lost her.
She lost the V card.
The V card. She lost her virginity.
Yes, she did.
And then also her life.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but let's talk about the virginity. All right. Right. So, way to go, girlfriend, on one aspect and not nice on the other aspect. Okay. She wanted to have her first time be with someone that was closer to her age that mm-hmm. she was attracted to.
Sure.
Rather than, you know, with someone who's like her grandfather. But the way that she went about it was completely wrong.
Yeah,
what
but
a conniving.
But let's discuss this here, and I can't believe I'm sticking up for this person, but I really am. She, by the way, sorry, you're gonna hear sniffles and coughs today from me because my
sniffles,
yeah, sniffles, you're because my daughter sniffles. Got me sick and I'm still suffering. But you know, this woman is living her life, Geneva. That is, she's living her life, and everything is just happening to her. Talk about being a passive person, yeah. a passive character. Everything is given to her, number one, but everything is just happening to her. As a matter of fact, she is literally being sold off to some dude that could be her grandfather. And I kind of respect this. I kind of respect
nope.
this. Wait, let me flesh this out a little bit more. I kind of respect the fact that she's taking charge of her life and saying, I don't want this to be my life. Uh-huh. I don't want to lose this to this person. I if there's one thing I can control, it's this, and I'm going to do it. I want it to be with a person that I'm attracted to.
There are a million fish in the sea.
Yes.
Okay. And to be honest, you know, you didn't have like, you don't have to blackmail people. You're a gorgeous young woman who's a virgin. Plenty of guys would have wanted to have sex with you.
Mm-hmm. Probably, but it would have been... See, that's the thing, too. She has this issue where it has to be... unfortunately, didn't work out this way, but it has to be, like, quiet. And it has to not come out. If she is just gallivanting off with other dudes that she knew that wanted to be with her before she got married to this one dude, it'd be a problem. It would be a problem. So how do you get with somebody that you are attracted to and you want to take control of your life? Granted, no. I will say that the way she did it in terms of, yeah, blackmailing Jamie, not a good look. Not a good look. But I give her credit for taking charge of her own life.
Listen, he just banged Mary McNabb, okay, in the cave.
Well, a number of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She could have been like, hey, my boobs are not in my armpits. I would like to spend some time in bed. I won't say anything. You know, please, pretty please. I still don't think he would have, but it would have been a heck of a lot nicer. I mean,
ultimately,
the Mary McNabb thing was very special. I'm not trying to put that down, but I'm just saying I don't think it was okay. And yes, Jamie just took a terrible situation and made it so lovely by being like, "You want to watch me? I'm going to show you how to do it." The fact that they kiss
yeah.
while they're having sex, I was like, "Oh, this is."
I will say that Jamie, the way that it went down. Well, let me put it this way. She says she wasn't sure she wants to do it. And he says, okay, no problem. We don't have to do this. It's not a big deal. And, mm-hmm. and then she says, no, this is what I want. And then Jamie does. It's, you know, she understood what she was getting herself into. She accepted that. Jamie accepted that and gave her the option to say no. But she still said yes. And he was willing to walk away. And that's what I can appreciate that. And the one thing that I have an issue with, and is Jamie, I mean, being pretty sensual with this girl and then treating her like a pile of dog shit later on.
Language, we're on Facebook
sorry,
Live.
Facebook Live. Sorry.
Even though I said pancake boob.
I mean, he's going to town in the breast
yep.
region.
Yep.
And they're making light of that, and then they're passionately kissing. I felt like that was not appropriate to what he was trying to do with her. He's just.
How old do you think Jamie is?
At this point?
Yeah.
35-ish?
He's older.
Is he older? Is he like, what, 40?
So, like, I just think it's interesting how you're like, ooh, about Brian Rogers. Someone even said that in this too, in the Facebook chat, that you're so ooh about their age difference. And Jamie's like, Jamie's older.
Yeah, but they're not trying to be in a relationship. This is a girl saying, I want to take charge of my life, and Jamie saying, okay, you're blackmailing me, but I'll do it.
And I'll do it well.
And I'll show you. And that's not like, oh, we're going to be in this relationship and I they're all lovey-dovey. And that's why I'm saying I had a problem with Jamie being so sensual with this woman, because it didn't feel like it warranted that. It felt like, to me, it should have been more of a business transaction. And it wasn't that. And that's kind of why I feel bad for Geneva, because...
You could feel bad for her, but I do. I do not think that the blackmailing part at all... Like, nope.
Yeah, not a good look. Not a good look. But I do feel bad because she's so naive with her perfect boobs. You know, like, she's so naive. I love you, Jamie. And like, he's like, no, you don't. You don't.
Okay.
You like me.
I'm really proud of her for taking her sexuality in her own hands. She just should have done it. In a right way, or at least first ask Jamie, hey, are you down? I'm down. Are you down? We could do it in the mud. Here I am. Instead of having to blackmail him.
Right. I still
would have said no.
Probably would have said no. But yeah, more than likely would have said no.
So how about that sex?
It was intense. Again, I felt like it was just a little too passionate for me. And that's why, again, I feel bad, because she kind of fell into this trap of, wow, maybe he does kind of like me. And then to follow it up even later on with his sister Isabel saying, she was in love with you. Like, oh, God, you know, like, no.
Why no? It's Jamf. Why no? Who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
And after that, that was her first time. And he hadn't had sex in years. I was like, man's got staying power. Good job.
He's like using extends or something.
I don't even know what that means. Oh, anyway.
Oh, God.
Well done, sex scene. Well done. We'll move on.
I don't think it was well done. I mean.
Well, no. I think the sex scene itself, I thought they did a good job. Maybe it's just because I'm sex deprived in the TV show.
That's true. There's been very little.
I'm saying it. I feel bad. People who might be tuning in for the first time, they're going to be like, wow. This girl talks a lot about, you know.
Pancake
between the
boobs.
Sheeps. Oh, yeah. I just said between the sheeps.
Oh. There you go.
Oh my God, that's like, I'm just thinking about what grooms must joke about. Grooms, you know, like people who like take care of the horses and the animals.
Yeah.
Between the sheep.
We're going to.
Anyway, okay. So then she lost her life.
Yeah, very sad. Again, very Downton Abbey-ish here. This whole thing here, very Downton Abbey for me. It reminded me of Lady, what's her name there?
Sybil.
Lady Sybil losing her life due to preeclampsia.
Yes.
When giving birth.
Childbirth is no easy feat, and thank God for modern medicine, because this happened way too frequently.
And
so.
why I also feel bad for Geneva is because she too then is also kind of reduced to a plot device for Jamie. She's reduced to a plot device because Jamie's going to have a kid. And she was just there to provide the kid, and that's it. Kind of like how Frank, you know, is kind of reduced to a plot device in the end as well.
People are clarifying that he's closer to 35 here, because then he has 6 years with Willie. So he might be, you know.
See?
How did you just get it to ding?
I don't know. I have no idea.
What? That was kind of crazy.
That was crazy.
You didn't even touch a ding.
Didn't touch it.
Wow.
It's the ghost of Frank letting me know. As soon as I talked about him, he was like, yeah, bro, I'm here. Okay. She's kind of reduced to a plot device. And I don't like that. It's just a mean. She's a means to an end, which is to get Jamie a son, which guaranteed comes back up by at least the end of this season, if not next season, guaranteed. That's that.
Claire loses what, in your opinion, in this episode? If you had to pick one thing that Claire would lose,
Hope. Claire loses hope, even though it's ruined in the preview for next episode.
Yeah.
Claire loses hope because, again, she says, you know, Mrs. Grant told me about this. I'm going to be chasing ghosts my entire life. And how could she not lose hope? I mean, let's just talk about this real quick for just one moment. We open up and we have the scene where they're Bree, Roger, and Claire are looking at the Wakefield's house and they're looking through all the ship manifests or they're looking through some ship manifests. And they're like, we're spending so much time, and then 3 seconds later, oh, look, I found him, like, out of nowhere.
But it wasn't 3 seconds, they just had...
No, it was. It was. That just, it popped up out of nowhere. It was like, okay, the plot demands we find Jamie now, so there it is. That was bad for me. That was bad. How about you?
We're talking about Claire losing hope.
But yes, Claire losing hope. How can you not? Because once you go through the whole rigmarole and you go through everything and you feel like you've ended up in a place that has all of these manifests and has all of the information and you still can't find them, and you come to that realization, that slow realization, like, oh my God, I've been wasting my time. I've fallen into the trap that I was told I was going to fall into. Mm-hmm. It's time to go home. And of course she has that phone call with Joe about the surgery.
Yep.
And in knowing that she's losing out on her job, and this is something that she worked her entire life for. She sacrificed her relationship with her child, according to the show, for this job. And it's great that she's finding that relationship with this child. And how ironic is it that it's something when she's losing Jamie, she is losing this opportunity to further bond with her child and then go back to work, go back to Boston. It's all pulling, it's ripping at her to come back. She's losing hope. She's losing her relationship with her daughter too. The one that it's slowly burgeoning. Do you understand what I mean?
Well, because of that trailer we know. Speaking of the daughter, Bree and Roger... They get that kiss. They get that one quick kiss. They get that moment of, I don't have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lose each other because she goes to Boston. And they don't have FaceTime. And they don't have Snapchat.
There's no Instagram.
No.
There's not even AIM.
No. They can call each other. They can write to each other.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling about this relationship? Are you like me? You're not like, are you out or are you buying or selling Roger and Bree?
I'm buying Roger.
You're buying Roger. What's the problem with Bree? What's the problem with Sophie Skelton?
But to be honest, I think that's Bree. Part of me thinks that's Bree. Bree and Roger are not supposed to have the same thing that Jamie and Claire have. So it's okay. We've had the bar here. And Bree and Roger are more of like a slow burn, So, but you know, they had something special and now they're gone. He's stuck with Fiona and his milky biscuits, creamy biscuits. So,
oh, I'm glad that, you know, there is character building between these two. I mean, it's there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But there isn't, like, I almost kind of wish they dedicated this whole episode to Jamie, or they dedicated the whole episode to Claire, Bree, and I almost said Frank, geez, and Roger. Either one, because you're intercutting between the two time periods, and it's almost like you're a master of none right now. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
you're defending 41 miles of wall when you should really be defending 1 mile of wall. Because they're trying to get to so many things, and they're trying to put, again, they did this last episode with Lord John Grey and Jamie. They're putting 10 pounds of crap in a 5 pound bag. You only have so much real estate here, so much visual real estate. And in order to develop Bree and Roger and have them have a viable relationship, you need to spend time with them. But you also need to spend time with Claire, too, because you have to have that emotional wall up at the end.
There's just saying, a lot going on.
I got to go. I'm now, at the end.
Now you know why Voyager is so big.
Right. Are you trying to grab my mouse?
I know. I thought this was Voyager, and then I realized that this is your copy of Outlander because there's no cover on it.
Yes. My okay. daughter ripped it off.
Yes. Thank you. So that is what Bree and Roger have lost. Mm-hmm. Lord John Grey, he lost. Oof.
Oh, man. What do you got? What do you got for what did he? What did he lose?
His Biffle, his best friend for life.
Yes.
Best friend, please love her, but not. Oh, God. Oh, my God. And he lost his shot with Jamie, but that's
good.
What is good.
This, Hamilton?
You only got one shot, and that was it. I'm not going to waste my shot. I'm glad. Think about the difference. Think about the difference of Geneva and Lord John Grey. Mm-hmm. She had to come to Jamie blackmailing him. And here's Jamie coming to someone who loves him for him and won't take him up on it. When Jamie's like, hey, if you watch Willie. And Lord John Grey could have been like, okay, sure. Because he knew he was already going to be taking care of Willie. He already knew.
Right.
But he could have been like, oh, well, totally. That sounds like a great deal.
Well,
and
now
he
that
didn't.
You say it.
And he didn't, you know? Right.
Which shows you that juxtaposition between himself.
Yes.
And Blackjack Randall.
That man shall not be named anymore, Blake.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, I know.
There's a huge juxtaposition there because
each redcoat is different.
Different guy, different relationship. Jamie offers himself to both. Blackjack Randall takes advantage of that. Lord yes. John Grey doesn't. By the way, can I also say this? Big fan of Lord John Grey in this episode. Really liking him.
So happy.
Loving the friendship.
Even though he's in the Volturi.
Say it out loud.
Vampire.
He's totally in the Volturi, belongs in Twilight, and it was never more present than it was in this episode, at least to me. He's like
yes.
super white
yes.
with the crystal blue eyes and like the perfect hair.
He had a minute with Mary.
Yes, all the minutes with Mary.
All the concealer.
Minutewithmary.com. Go check it out. Shameless plug.
So Lord John Grey lost... Tis Jamie.
Yeah, I love their relationship. I love their friendship. The fact that he can say, I should want to say yes to this, but no, of course not. You're my friend, and I'm going to be losing my friend, and I'm going to take care of your son. We're going to do the best that we can. I love that they play chess together, and that there's this great moment between himself and his brother and Jamie. The brother shows up.
Hey,
Mackenzie.
Oh, my God.
And it's not that you knew something. You didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, again, you knew what Lord Melton was going to do.
Right. It was tension. You knew the outcome, but you weren't sure how they were going to get there. And a great buildup of tension. Brendan Mayer has done this to aplomb this season, building the tension only to bring it back down again. And I really appreciated that scene between those three. And Jamie killed it this entire episode. Sam Heughan killed it.
You know who else killed it?
What?
Little Willie.
Yes.
Okay, so he didn't. I was not sitting there being like, "Wow, that looks like Jamie." I wasn't, and I really wished that in that scene where Jamie was like in the window and Willie was in the window, that like I could have seen a little something more. That almost like they could have had the reflection like in. I don't even know, mm-hmm. but. This kid did a good job acting because mm-hmm. I usually hate child actors in shows. I'm usually like,
can't
oh,
stand
God,
them.
It's so painful. He did a good job. And, you know, I really, whoever is picking these kids, whether Fergus or now Willie, like, well done. I don't mm-hmm. know if they have to go through specific different castings because it is for child actors, but
sure.
well done. He lost Mac.
Right, his buddy, his male figure, right,
in his life, his big brother, aka his dad.
His dad.
Imagine that.
His uncle dad, or his friend dad.
Yeah, that's why I said big brother. It's kind of like a big brother. Like you hang out a couple times a week.
Right. Yeah.
You bring him to play some basketball. Teach him how to ride a horse. Might show him how to carve a snake.
Did you, by the way, make that connection that Willie was Jamie's brother's name at the same time?
What do you mean?
Remember how he's like, oh, my brother was named Willie?
Yeah.
I see. I didn't remember back to that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's just me being a dumb viewer.
Do you remember his little Sawney snake?
I do remember that.
Okay.
I do remember
good
that.
Good job.
And when I saw the title card when he's whittling the snake, I was like, oh, wow, Sawney, that's really cool. Like, you made that connection, but you were just waiting to see how it was going to come back up in the episode. But as a boy, you have, again, maybe this is just me being a guy. Like, as a boy, when you develop a friendship with an older person, like an older guy,
okay,
like whether it's an older boy or like someone who's much older, like who's an adult.
Okay.
It happened to me where you have this friendship and you really look up to that person and you want to spend every waking minute with them because you can relate to them. Not like you can with your dad, not like you can with, like your friends at your age, but like you spend time with that person. You look up to them and you want to be like them. You want to act like them. You want to do things with them because it feels cool.
Mm.
It feels awesome.
And
Willie lost that. God, man.
And then Jamie, in essence, lost. I mean, not in essence. Jamie did. He lost his son.
But he made the choice. But I think he was kind of forced into that choice because they were saying that he was starting to look like Jamie. And
I just wish he had the red hair, especially because they had that comment in the beginning of the episode, like, oh, you know, some people kill the kids if they come out with hair like that, referring to Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, cool. That baby's going to come out with red hair.
Right.
He is. No, brunette.
I feel bad for Jamie in this episode. Like I said, I felt bad for Geneva because of...
Don't feel too bad.
I do. But I also feel... I really feel bad for Jamie because Jamie just can't win. He can't win.
He's can't win in anything. He's not using the law of attraction.
No.
He does not know the secret.
No, he does not know. Not a big fan of the secret.
He needs
right
to
now.
Hook up with some Masons. Some Freemasons and learn about the secret.
He loses Claire, loses Faith, loses Bree, loses Willie, is in prison, loses all of his friends, and then he's basically sent to another kind of prison, even though it's Hellwater, but it's not prison, but it is, and he's subjected to using a different name, lying to to the lady of the house, which scene, by the way, with the lady of the house. What's the name's? This is gonna be bad. Is it Dunsmuir's? Dansbury? I think. Anyway. She says, you know what? I know who you are. I don't know your name, but I know that you are a Jacobite, and my husband has these great connections, and you can go home. And seeing Jamie look at young Willie like, oh my God, thank you. He reminded me of that scene with Frank when he finds out that Claire is pregnant and he thinks for that one hot second that it's his baby, but then realizes it's not. And you see that transition in his face, like that look of elation to horror.
Oh my God, yes.
But this, it reminded me of that, but this was different. This was elation, like, thank you, yes. And then the realization that this is his one thing that he really has.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one thing that he can live for now.
Yeah.
And he just can't, leave it. Can't. Not now. Not. He has to see it through, at least for the time being. And great acting by Sam Heughan. Totally nailed it. I mean, just hit it right out of the pack on this episode. And all season, by the way. All season. He's really grown into Dunsany. Thank you very much. Whoever said that. Diana Anderson said that.
I always had it as Dunsany.
Whatevs. So I really loved that. Sam Heughan, man. Just unbelievable. And,
right.
You know, I thought of another thing that really bothered me about Roger and Bree.
Let's take a break for a second.
Okay.
We'll come back to that.
All right. Let's
We're going to
take
a quick break. Let you calm down. So we wanted to remind you that this episode was brought to you by Decoded Designs.
So this Decoded Designs is one of the coolest things I have ever seen in my life. And when I got in touch with Shannon, the owner, I was so happy that number one, she wanted to talk to me, but number two, that she wanted to be partners with us, because basically what she has are these bracelets, and it's Morse code. And it's beads and Morse code. And it says these really cool things, like it says Jamie, or it says Sassenach, but it's in Morse code. Or for us Harry Potter nerds, she has all these great things, like it says Slytherin or Gryffindor or Lumos or anything that you really want to put in Morse code.
Yeah, because she can make a custom order and to make them really extra special and treasured gifts. So, you know, the holidays are really fastly approaching. These are the perfect stocking stuffer. Like they're these beautiful, dainty little bracelets that I'm telling you, people be like, oh, wow, what is that? That's so pretty. But it actually says something in Morse code. So not only that, but they can make affordable gifts for teachers. Like I, previous to having kids, I was a teacher. I would love something like this. It could be for coworkers, clients, just about anyone, including yourself.
So please go check out Dakota Designs on Etsy. And I promise you, it's like one of the coolest subtle nerd gifts I've ever seen. Yeah. And it's a really cool talking point for you and all your friends. If I could talk about Dakota Gifts for like the next hour, I would. Or Dakota Designs, rather. Shannon is amazing. Please check her out. Dakota Designs on Etsy.
Etsy.com/shop/Dakota Designs.
All right. So let's get back to my Roger and Bree hate just for a moment.
Okay. Be careful. I'm glad you just fanboyed out over Sam Heughan to give it a little sandwich.
I feel like, God, there's just no chemistry. And the kiss itself was extremely bad. I feel like Roger and Bree has happened. We got a taste in Dragonfly and Amber, and I was okay because, you know what, first episode in, got to find yourself, got to see what's good, see what's bad, figure it out, and then we can move on. But I just didn't see any growth out of the two for chemistry purposes. But then we have the kiss, and then she says something like, I'm afraid that we're going to find Jamie because I'm going to lose my mom again.
Yeah.
And then Roger's like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose you. And it's just...
Stop. Wait a second. You have a problem with that?
I do.
You.
Yes, me.
You would say the exact same thing. You actually have.
That's because I'm a regular person. I'm not creative enough.
Stop it.
I'm not creative enough.
Stop it.
I feel like when you're writing your own show.
When there's an emotional man who is afraid of. No, stop. You cannot fault Roger for that. Blake Larson.
I do a little bit.
That's like you every time I leave. I'm afraid you're not going to come back.
I feel like I'm the dog in the meme.
Blake, you know? I'm going to New York.
With the dog in the meme, you know, when he's like, he destroys everything in the background. Is like, you left me and I was afraid you were never, ever going to come back
again. Stop it. You need to retract this statement, Blake, because you would say the exact same thing.
Sticking by. Can't. I'm almost out. I'm almost out.
I'm
going to
call you out. Next time you get all like emotional being like, I'm afraid that you're not going to come back. I'm going to be like, oh, excuse me, Roger?
Roger, what'd you say?
Roger.
I don't know.
Here's your little airplane.
Yeah.
I'm retracting that for you.
I like that callback to the airplane, right? By the way. That was a cute callback. I will totally give them that.
To his little toy.
I just want...
Dad died in a plane. He lost his dad.
If you're gonna go all in on Roger and Bree, you're gonna go all in. Go all in.
Don't hate on them for that comment. That's all I'm getting at.
Oh my goodness gracious! All right, my love. Is there anything else you wanna handle for this particular episode, or do you think we can catch up on the rest of it then?
We'll catch up on the rest in the next episode.
All right. So are you ready for the Kendra thought of the week?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
Hey, Mary and Blake, I'll get right to it because I loved this episode. It wasn't perfect.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble. we're already in trouble.
Why?
Because she loved it. It's good.
This is what I love about the podcast. I love hearing this. I still gave it a 4.
All right, hold on.
Glaring at you, awkward pub scene. But it packed an emotional wallop I should have been prepared for, but wasn't. I was focused on how they would fix the Geneva issue, which they did beautifully. I could not have been more pleased with how it played out. Surprisingly, that's not the main focus of my thought this week. Shocking, I know, considering how vocal I've been about it in the past. I'd like to take a moment to discuss Jamie's offer to Lord John Grey and why it rankled me so much in the book and why it affected me so differently in the episode. In the book, we've just had the Geneva encounter, which took a decidedly darker turn. Jamie's taken back forcibly some of his power from Geneva in a most unfortunate way. When he makes the offer to Lord John in the text, it reads to me as arrogant and belittling of the truth of Grey's affections. When it happens in the show, however, there's a decidedly different dynamic in place. Yes, Geneva approached the encounter as a rapist, but in those moments before, the important point is before, they came to understand each other's needs and genuinely pity each other. There was control given, not taken, and consent affirmed. However, it leaves Jamie with the understanding that his one bargaining tool is his body. When he offers himself to Grey, it's heartbreaking instead of arrogant. He's trading his body like currency, as so many women have been forced to do throughout history. It evens the playing field and is incredibly sad. When Grey turns him down and still offers to be a father to Willie, Jamie's reaction is one of relief, shame, and renewed hope for the basic decency of mankind. Hewan and Barry play this moment to perfection. I cannot say enough about David Barry as Lord John. He's just killing it. I can now understand why people love Lord John so much. Despite the weak points of some of Bree's interactions with Claire and that awful pub scene, I was going to give this episode 4.9 kilts. Then they went and pulled out Bob Dylan's Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, and I lost it. Literally lost it.
Yes.
5 kilts. This one gets 5 kilts because that song was written by a 21-year-old kid, and it destroys me every time. Absolutely perfect choice for this episode. That's all for now. Talk to you next week. Sayonara from Japan.
Sayonara.
Thank you, Kendra. Speaking of Bob Dylan and Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, stay tuned for the end of the episode. We have a surprise for you.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there. One person brought it up in the forum here, and I do want to bring it up, is the pearls.
Yes.
What did you think about this transaction? Because I didn't know that she gave away the pearls as a viewer. I didn't know it was a thing that she gave away. I don't remember her giving them away.
Okay. No, but I just loved how they had that little like flashback, like previously on Outlander.
I know. And then they show the pearls and everything. Yeah. I don't remember her giving them away. Okay. So it wasn't like a, oh my God, she got the pearls back. It wasn't that for me. It was just like, oh, she got the pearls back.
That's okay,
great. That's awesome.
Just know she has her pearls back.
Okay, great. And I will say to Bear McCreary, adapting Bob Dylan is a thing that should happen every day of my life.
Yes.
For his work, for what he did on Battlestar Galactica with All Along the Watchtower, BT Dubs, do yourself a favor and go listen to Bear McCreary's adaptation of All Along the Watchtower. It is the best version I've ever heard of that song, including Jimi Hendrix and Bob Dylan. It's better than that. It's amazing. But his adaptation of this song fit perfectly for both time periods of the show. I know it's not something that's going to be able to happen quite often. In fact, it probably won't happen again. But I loved the juxtaposition of hearing a modern day song laid over these beautiful 1700s.
People are saying it's not Bear.
Well, it was Bear McCreary's adaptation.
Not this one.
Well, that's what I was told by Lynette Rice. So I'm just saying that's all.
Yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, she did say that.
She did say that. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she is wrong. But I'm going off of what the head writer of Entertainment Weekly tells me. So we'll, you know what? If we're wrong, I will correct that next episode. Either way, go listen to Battlestar Galactica and All Along the Watchtower. And I really loved hearing that modern day song laid over these 1700 images. It felt right. It felt good. It both applied to Claire and Jamie. It made sense. It flowed well. It felt awesome. Do you agree, or do you not think it was a good choice?
The first time I watched it, I was like, "What? Why are we doing like not time period music?" It felt weird. But then once I realized what the song was, and I'm just looking in these blue eyes, and I'm like, "Oh, I'm done. I'm done. Yes, sign me up. Sign me up." So at first it made me feel a little weird. I'm not gonna lie. Kind of because that's what sometimes TV shows do, is they like play you this like sappy song for the last 3 minutes, you know, that you want to just kind of like sing along to. So at first it shocked me at first. I just wasn't ready for it. But once I got into it, I loved it. The second time, I loved it as well. Mm-hmm. So
I agree. So are you ready for the most famous segment, I think, in podcast history?
Tell me.
Tell me, darling. You know, I've gotten a number of Emmys for this one.
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
Yes.
It is the Outlandish Theory of the Week. Wanted to remind you that this Outlandish Theory of the Week is brought to you by Celtic Eternity. Please visit CelticEternity.com and get 10% off Celtic and Scottish rings with the coupon code OutlanderCast.
One word.
OutlanderCast. And trust me, they are beautiful. Mike, the owner, is amazing. Talk with him. He'll take care of you. Beautiful Scottish and Celtic rings. Amazing.
CelticEternity.com.
All right. The Outlandish Theory of the Week. Coming off a major victory, okay? Major victory.
Oh, I just can't wait to see how you fare for the rest of the season when you don't watch trailers.
I'm just saying. In fact, it was such a victory. Bam! Just like that. A winner! I'm playing it again, okay? Because that was a great one. For this one, I feel like I got a little bit of a sophomore slump here, but I'm gonna do the best that I can. I'll give you a sub Outlandish Theory of the Week.
I'm getting sleepy. Let's go.
This is not the last we're gonna see of Willie. In fact, I think we're gonna see him and Lord John Grey by the end of this season. By the end of the season, we're going to see both of them again. And I feel like Willie is going to play a much larger role when he gets older.
Okay.
I feel like he is somehow going to influence Jamie's decision. Here you go.
Oh, tell me. Bring it. Let's do this. Let's
Jamie go. Is going to have to make a choice between Claire and Willie at some point. Somehow, some way, something is going to happen. And I think he might choose Willie.
So interesting.
I think he might choose
so
Willie.
So interesting.
So there's one. That's a sub-Outlandish theory of the week. Here is the main Outlandish theory of the week.
Okay. Yes.
Roger is the one that brings back, since we know she's going back next episode, he is the one who brings back Claire. And I think Bree comes along with Claire. But it's not going to be because, oh, I found something and here it is. Like, oh, here's Jamie. Like, no.
Why are you giving Roger that voice? Are you once again, would have said the same things he would say.
I'm afraid I'm going to lose you.
Yeah, that's you. Just say it in your voice without pretending. Try to do it Scottish, because it's you, just Scottish.
I'm afraid I'm going to lose you.
What is that?
Listen, I never said I was a good Scottish accent person.
Skip it. Never mind.
All right. So, remember, though, when Frank was writing to Reverend Wakefield saying, listen, I need you to do some research for me on this guy, James Fraser. And it gets put away very quickly. This happened, I think it was in the premiere, The Battle Joined. I think it was The Battle Joined. Roger is going to discover the letter that Frank wrote to Reverend Wakefield. And the letter is going to be contained in a box that's been tucked away in the Wakefield house that nobody has seen.
Ooh.
And it's going to contain all the information.
It's
going to
open the...
Yeah. It's going to contain all the information that they haven't been able to find. And there it is, because Reverend Wakefield already gathered it all. But he croaked before he could send it off to Frank.
The Cliff Notes version.
It's the Cliff Notes version. So the letter that we saw in the premiere will come back.
Nice.
And it's going to be a double whammy because Claire is going to see that Frank wrote this beautiful letter requesting all this information about James Fraser to Reverend Wakefield. And she's going to feel bad. It's going to be this thing. And she's still going to make the choice to go back to Jamie because Frank is the one who makes it happen for her. And that is my outlandish theory of the week. And I guarantee you it is going to happen, and I'm sticking to it. Charlie, what do you got for me?
Mark.
Please hang up and try again.
Do I get an interesting? Mm-hmm. Do I get an interesting? Mm-hmm. Come on, give it to me.
Interesting.
Final thoughts, my darling.
I'm just so excited that you are no longer watching trailers. I want to really, really strongly urge any purely show watcher to do the same. Give up the trailers. Give it up. Just when the show ends, you can skip over it. Skip over it so you can get to see the little chat.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, you know nothing right now.
Here's the argument against that. And I'll say this. The showrunner is in charge of these things. And if he didn't want you to know this information prior to the next episode, it wouldn't be there.
Correct.
So it's part of the experience of the show.
Correct.
Again, it's not the episode's fault. It's the show's fault that it's made a bad choice.
What I'm telling you is that it hasn't shown you anything going forward, really, aside from that Claire is going to the future.
Right.
So, and there's a heck of a lot of episodes left.
Right. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, I think there's an argument to be made
How
that you should
this?
Stick with the trailers.
I'll watch the trailer.
And you can tell me if it's...
And I'll let you know if you can watch it or not.
Okay. All right. I'll go. Handshake.
You know what? We can let the clan vote on it.
Yes, that's a great idea.
We can let the clan vote if the trailer is show watcher worthy. If, like, you know, people like Blake are safe watching it, or if his outlandish theories are going to get too much fire.
Listen, I've been on a roll. I've been on a freaking roll. Yes.
So that's it. That's my final thought.
Praise the Lord. My final thought is they've taken a step back. Now I need them to take a step forward with this next thing. What you can see in the episode structure that they have created here, they're going in episodes of four, in my opinion.
Okay.
They're going, you're going to see a three-act overall arc of a season. The first four episodes is one act. The next four episodes is the next act. And the next four episodes after that is the final act.
Okay.
And then the finale is its own thing.
Okay.
Okay? Because it's 13 episodes.
Yeah.
So now we're done with this first act. The first act, of course, is where Claire started back in the 40s and how it ends with her leaving in the 60s, and also starts with Jaime at the Battle of Culloden, and it ends with him meeting back up with Claire again.
I just think that this whole first act was Jaime. And
yes and no, but see, I can't go along with that only because we spent so much time with Frank and how that relationship
you're
devolved.
Right, you're right. Okay.
So you have, in my opinion, as a viewer, you are entitled to that information.
Correct.
And you have to see it to see where Claire is coming from and how her relationship with her daughter has also devolved.
I guess I'm just feeling that way because we already got to see, you know, so much of her in the future before that I kind of feel like, all right, we know what Claire's been up to. You know?
Oh, you know what? I got another idea.
Tell me.
Oh, here we go.
Oh my God, another outlandish theory? Buddy, I'm tired.
Last outlandish theory of the day. You're getting three outlandish theories of the week
today. Okay, I'm ready. Bring it.
The final scene of next episode is going to be Claire opening the door and the bell ringing.
Okay.
And then it's going to cut to black.
Okay.
Guaranteed. They're not going to show the reunion. It's not going to happen. She's going to go back in time and she's going to end up she's going to find out where he is. But the door's going to open, bell's going to ring.
Okay.
Cut to black.
All right. Let's close out the show.
All right. Let's do it. And by the way, we do have a surprise for you.
Okay.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? And where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains.
All right, ladies and gents, you know where to find us. Facebook.com/OutlanderCast. You can join the Outlander Cast clan gathering. That's our exclusive Facebook group where you're going to get to vote if Blake can watch a trailer or not each week. But we've got a lot of other great things going on there. At OutlanderCast.com, we not only have our podcasts, but we have an amazing staff of bloggers from around the world. So you're definitely going to want to make sure that you take up some time this week heading on over to outlandercast.com to see the latest and greatest live blog, the podcast updates, the listener feedback, and of course the blog posts that are going to be coming to you all week. See, I told you I'm tired. You're going to have to take the lead.
Listen, I'm here. I'm happy to play Bob Dylan.
We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. And until next time, ladies and gents, I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.
I saw a newborn baby with wild wolves all around it. I saw a highway of diamonds with nobody on it. I saw a black branch with blood that kept dripping. I saw a room full of men with their hammers a-bleeding. I saw a white ladder all covered with water. I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken. So guns and sharp swords in the hands of young children. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, and it's a hard rains are gonna fall. Oh, what did you hear, my blue-eyed son? And what did you hear, my darling young one? I heard the sound of a thunder that roared out a warning. I heard the roar of a wave that could drown the whole world. I heard 100 drummers whose hands were a-blazing. I heard 10,000 whispering and nobody listening. I heard one person starve, I heard many people laughing. I heard the song of a poet who died in the gutter. I heard the sound of a clown who cried in the alley. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard. It's a hard rains are gonna fall. Oh, what did you meet, my blue-eyed son? And who did you meet, my darling young one? I met a young child beside a dead pony. I met a white man who walked a black dog. I met a young woman whose body was burning. I met a young girl, she gave me a rainbow. I met one man who was wounded in love. I met another man who was wounded in hatred. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard rains are gonna fall. And what'll you do now, my blue-eyed son? And what'll you do now, my darling young one? I'm a-going back out for the rain starts a-falling. I'll walk to the depths of the deepest dark forest, where the people are many and their hands are all empty. Where the pellets of poison are flooding their waters. Where the home in the valley meets the damp, dirty prison. And the executioner's face is always well hidden. where hunger is ugly, where the souls are forgotten, where black is the color, where none is the number. And I'll tell it and speak it and think it and breathe it, and reflect from the mountains so all souls can see it. And I'll stand on the ocean until I start sinking, but I'll know my song well before I start singing. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, and it's a hard, it's a hard rain are gonna fall.